Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So the hadith is crystal clear. You lick your fingers. Now the second part of the hadith is even more questionable to some. If you do not lick it, let someone else lick it for you. Now who would lick my fingers for me? This is disgusting. This, ya akhi, this is a hadith and it's authentic. And if you despise something like this, this is your problem. Some people would not. So a wife would have no problem in licking her husband's fingers.
Ugh.
No, ugh to you. But to them, it's a sign of love. The Prophet ﷺ, whenever Mother Aisha drank from a cup and she gave the cup to him, he would look where she placed her lips and he would drink from the same place. Whenever she took a bite from a bone or something or piece of meat and give it to him, he would look where she put her teeth and bite from the same place. Nowadays, a husband tells his wife, go and fetch me a spoon. She says, take my spoon. He said, you crazy? Why should I take your spoon? You ate with it. And the wife is, the poor thing, so what? Said, no, I cannot eat after you. Go and clean it, wash it and put some Dettol and fix it. And subhanallah. The people are so far from the love and compassion of the Prophet ﷺ. There is no problem in a wife licking the husband's fingers or the husband licking the wife's fingers after eating. This is part of expressing the love. Is it mandatory? No. If he doesn't find someone who wants to do that, it's tough luck for him. But we cannot blame or condemn someone applying this sunnah and consider it to be inappropriate. The things that are appropriate comes from the Quran and Sunnah. Anything else, this is man-made. We could care less about what they think or say. So we open the floor for Q&As.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalam.
Question is not related to this topic. Can I ask?
Okay.
There is a hadith in which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbid us to roll our hair and our clothes. In order to keep our clothes above our ankles, obviously, we are folding that. It is allowed.
Okay, this hadith, if I'm not mistaken, is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I was ordered to prostrate on 7 bones and I was forbidden from folding up hair and clothes. The scholars say, and this is an authentic hadith, the scholars say that this folding is for prayer. As indicated in the hadith, I was forbidden from folding my hair and my clothes in prayer. So if a person does this for the sake of prayer, this is not recommended and it's forbidden. Whether it's forbidden or highly not recommended, it's an issue of dispute. How do I fold, for example, my clothes? If I want to pray, I would use this and put it at the back. This is folding it. Why would I do this? So that my movement would be easier. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, may Allah have mercy on his soul, said that the Prophet ﷺ forbade folding your hair, meaning that at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, people used to have long hair. So if you let your hair down and you prostrate and bow, it bows and prostrates with you. But if you fold it, if I fold this, it would not prostrate and bow with me. That's why the Prophet says, ﷺ, leave it as it is. Coming back to your question, which is, folding the trousers above the ankles. This is a must, whether you're praying or not praying, because it is prohibited and forbidden for a man to wear anything from the waist down that exceeds his ankles. Whether it's an apron, a waist wrapper, a trousers, a thobe, it's all forbidden, a cloak. It has to be above the ankles. Now, if someone is sinful the whole day, and it's time for prayer, and then he wants to fold it so that he would pray in a halal fashion, it's pathetic. It's not logical for someone to say, oh, you're not allowed to fold your trousers in salah. So should I put them below the ankles, which is haram again, and it's a sin? He said, yes, yes. No, this is wrong. This is something faulty in the analogy of people when they look at things. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best.
What is the ruling for the fish and sea animals which are growing in the drainage pond or impure water?
What's the ruling on fish or seafood, animals or whatever, creatures living in contaminated water or impure water.
As well as the plants also, which are growing.
As well as the plants. Well, first of all, if these animals live in pools of urine and stuff like this, this is definitely not allowed because they're not living in the sea, they're living in impurities, and all their flesh, all what's in them would be impure. And I don't think that they can survive in such environment. Therefore, hypothetical questions, yes, if they're living in a swamp, maybe you will not be able to drink the water of the swamp because it's dirty, but it is not impure. It's dirty, it's contaminated. Anything that is harmful for you is haram to consume, whether it's seafood or other types, and Allah knows best.
Sheikh, are there any halal animals which we consume it, but they too consume meat? Are there any such kind of animals? Like, you know, the chicken, it too consume the meat. If we give the meat to the chicken, it will have it. Any other animals which we take?
Not that I can think of, except sharks.
Yeah, sharks.
For example, sea creatures that live entirely on the sea, such as killer whales, sharks, barracudas, such fish, they're considered to be part of the sea animals, and we are allowed to eat that without any problem, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Eating something haram in a time of necessity, if you don't eat, you'll die in a condition like that. So you can eat something haram, like eating pork.
Okay.
So if I'm going to die, if I don't eat, so I can eat?
Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned this in the Quran, that you have no sin, none whatsoever, in consuming something that is haram if you were forced to do that due to necessity or a need to do that. Otherwise, greater harm would affect you. So, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. So it was made unlawful for you to eat the dead meat, blood, and pork. These three things are permitted in case of necessity. If someone is stranded in the desert and he has no food and he's dying because of hunger and he finds pork's meat or he finds a dead sheep, is he entitled and allowed to eat it? The answer is yes, no problem. But if he's in a hotel and he goes down and he finds in the menu pork or animals that were not slaughtered, can he eat that? He's not in a situation of necessity. Therefore, it is not permissible.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum salam.
Sheikh, there are some people, those who used to say that don't wash your hands in the plate where you have taken the meal. Is it related to etiquette?
After eating or?
After eating.
No, this is not part of the etiquette, none whatsoever. Cleanliness is good. And Islam does not oppose cleanliness. If you eat meat or you eat any other food and you wash your hands, this is completely acceptable. Not only that, it is recommendable. So that you would not shake hands with others and then, yuck, what's this?
Washing in the same plate where you eaten.
You're talking about the plates or washing the hands?
Washing the hands. In the plate means where the place you have eaten.
No. This is definitely not part of the sunnah or recommended. Meaning after I finish eating in the plate, they bring water so I can wash my hands in the plate. No, this is not part of the sunnah. We follow the sunnah. If there is a hadith that the Prophet did this, as-salam, we do it. But there is nothing of such thing and Allah knows best.
Is it permissible to follow an imam who is consuming tobacco and smoking cigarette?
We gave a rule, if you remember, which is any man whose prayer is valid for himself, it is valid for those who pray behind him. So if hypothetically there was an imam who smokes or does haram things or consumes haram things, as long as he's Muslim, yes, you may pray behind him and your prayer is valid. But if he's a kafir, even if he doesn't smoke or drink or do anything of haram, but he is kafir, his belief invalidates Islam, you cannot pray behind him.
Sheikh, is there any problem eating with the spoon instead of his fingers or hand?
This is part of the etiquettes of eating, that some scholars say you must eat with three fingers, not even your full hand. And there isn't anything specific. So you can eat with a spoon, a fork, a knife, providing that they are not gold or silver plated. As we discussed this before, it is forbidden to eat in gold or silver-plated utensils.
Is it compulsory to spread a cloth and place all the dishes on the cloth and properly sitting around the cloth and having food in a proper way? Or we can just eat by standing, walking?
Well, the sunnah is that we eat all together. The companions once complained to the Prophet ﷺ while they were in a trip or an expedition that the food is not enough for them. So the Prophet told them, ﷺ, maybe you're eating alone. You should not eat alone. You should all gather and from the same place. And this is one of the means of barakah. So if you do this, this is the sunnah. If you want to eat alone, this is permissible. Now, part of the sunnah as well is that you do not eat standing up, because there is a prohibition from eating standing up. And you are recommended strongly to sit and eat rather than walk or stand and eat. And that is why in the old times, scholars would consider this to be something that discredits a person if he eats in public, because they do not eat in public. Nowadays, it's different because with all the fast food chains and the people are eating in the cars, in the street, in the restaurants, all of this is permissible. But there are a number of etiquettes that one should pay attention to. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.